Oh, buddy. So, anything good on TV today?
I caught up on. I restarted Agents of Shield. I started that
Really?
season. Yeah, I don't know what it was. I was do It's been a Marvel kind of
It's
weekend for me.
Quake. That's what it is.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah, and I was like, okay, let's go back and revisit some Agents of Shield. And you know what it did? It actually, I now remember. I hadn't ever watched the one shot of Item 47. I don't know how that one skipped me. So
Really?
I watched Item 47 and loved it. And of course, there's a couple Agent Coulson name drops in it. And I go, you know what? Let's just go Agents of Shield. And also, I was watching an episode of Criminal Minds, and the gentleman that plays Deathlok actually plays in a very interesting episode of Criminal Minds. So again, got me on and on some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. So started with season three, not going all the way back to the beginning, but got a few episodes in. God, Clark Gregg is so good.
Oh man.
Do you ever wonder? Because I got one for you,
Yeah.
Bradley. Did you know who is Clark Gregg's wife? Do you know who he's married to?
No.
Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing.
Really?
Yes. So
Very cool.
my thing is, you ever wonder when they're at the house, did she ever go, "Hey Clark, let's do the lift."
Oh, you know this happened.
Yeah, and when they got married, because it was after the movie, obviously. They had to play, the time of my life,
Oh, yeah.
all the things. All By the way, could you imagine how you have to be a secure man when your wife is in movie, historical canon with some of the greatest dance love scenes with Patrick Swayze? Like, bruh, like, dude, like,
Yeah.
it's just everything that dude did was cool as hell. So, like, he's probably the only American, RIP to Patrick, that when they said Patrick Swayze has passed, you're like, yes, I won. There's your ghost, honey. Yeah,
Right.
so do pottery with him now. Yeah, I'm sorry. To the family of Patrick Swayze, I apologize.
Oh, here, we have a banner for that.
I think we do. Let's play that banner
Let's
out.
get a little bit of Do You Boo Boo.
Yes. So this part
And
of the
then
show
we'll follow that
is,
up with
yeah,
Don't
it's
Sue Us,
all,
It's a Joke.
yeah. And if you're not familiar with Do You Boo Boo, it's Bradley's way of saying hands off. He does not support the message that is coming from Brian Stephen Dennis. So yes, sir.
All
All right.
right. All right. But Brian, sir,
Yes, sir.
but
But
first,
first, yes.
before we get to the show, but
Yes. Technically,
first.
this is but second, but yes, go ahead.
Right. But second,
But second, yes.
if you think about it, Joe Chill is the real hero of the DC Universe.
Because he gave us the hero
He gave us the hero.
that we deserve.
Yes, because if he didn't kill Martha and Thomas
Yes.
Wayne, we would never have
Yes.
got Batman.
Well, could you
It
say
was.
the same for the kill of Uncle Ben?
Yeah, you absolutely could.
By the way, Bradley, did you know what Uncle Ben's favorite side dish is?
Corn?
Rice.
Took me a second.
Take it a second.
It took me a second. I'm like, wait, oh, I get it. I get it.
Okay.
All right.
And coming from the South, that was a topical brand. Like, oh, there's no imaging issues here, right? Okay, yeah.
And with that, all right, welcome to the Fandemic Presents, Prevenge of the Nerds. We are your one-stop podcast every week, and we're going to give you all the things to level up your awesome. You can also order my kids' book, Leveling Up My Awesome, on Amazon today for $7.99, or contact me for an autographed copy. Now, Brian,
Sir.
my new book will be out within the week.
Sir.
Yes. the stuffed animal Night Force. I'll talk about that a little more in my top five, but this is how the show is going to go. We're going to start off with our top five. We will give you our 2 cents and a penny for our thoughts. Then we're going to tell you the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. It might be a list. It might be a pitch. One thing is for sure. You're awesome. We'll be leveled due to this. Brian, what are we doing today?
All right, sir. As always, we are because of the month of December. And Bradley, this is our second December together. So it is such a joy doing the podcast with you, my friend, my brother from another mother, my tag team partner, the hawk to my animal, and our legion of awesomeness. Did you like that? Right there.
Yes.
Right there. And as always, sir, what a rush. We are going to discuss, we always try to keep it positive and prevent to the nerds, but we have a couple things we're going to do, talking about our greatest disappointments. And yes, for anyone that loves us, we left ourselves off the list, but we do appreciate you putting up with us. But we are going to prevent our greatest disappointment. But first, we have our What's Awesome Report.
Reports.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Brian, I think sir. I went first last time.
Let's do it. I'll go first this time.
All right. Bring it home, buddy.
All right, sir. So for those of you that may be new to the podcast, we discuss our favorite, our top five. Sometimes it's more than five, sometimes it's less. But as all things, we just take the law of averages. And it's hand grenades and
horseshoes.
Thank you. Close is good enough. Yes. All right. So So anyway, here we go. So my top five, and I really had a little different stance. Mine typically come in the world of streaming. So one show that I am a huge fan of that I've never mentioned, and I just had such a ball with the show this week. While it's not a new show, the most recent episode was fantastic. And Bradley, have you been watching Abbott Elementary?
I have never watched it.
If you like Superstore, if you like The Office... And we have our first Princess Leia cameo. We got to bring in a counter for our Princess Leia cameo.
I think we do. I just need to send her the link so she can just log in on her iPad.
There it is. Yes,
you want to say hi to Brian?
Yeah. Hi, Princess.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Very cool. Very cool.
Can you bust your ears off real quick?
I would appreciate it if you did not do that, actually.
It's just going to be real quick.
No, but you can tell your dad that if you were a Marvel character, not the flute. Really? Okay.
He brought the flute.
Yes. Hey, Leia. Leia.
Yeah.
Leia.
Is that going to be our new intro music?
Leia, do you know what is it called when you are a flute player? What is a flute player actually called? Do you know?
A flute player?
No. Ask your dad.
A band player?
Ask your dad if he knows. What's a flute player officially called? Ask him.
What's a flute player officially called?
A flutist.
Oh my gosh.
He is wrong, actually. He is wrong.
All right, kiddo.
No, what is it?
Say bye. Not with the flute. Don't say bye with the flute.
He's going to pay a player self out. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a lot louder when I take my hand off.
So, by the way, Bradley, it is pronounced flautist.
A flautist?
Yes.
What?
You're a flautist.
It's not flutist. It is actually pronounced flautist. And you can tell Leia this later, she was giving me all kinds of Kill Bill 2 vibes with the flute. Like when Bill and the Bride are at the campsite before she goes and train with Pai Mei. That's totally like, I just heard her telling me the story of Pai Mei and the monk. Like totally, yeah. Something's going to end with death and destruction. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Now,
okay.
Buddy, now that I've got to find my eardrums. Abbott Elementary.
Abbott Elementary. So it's created by Quinta Harris. Again, if you like shows like The Office, mm-hmm. Superstore, mm-hmm. Modern Family, it's very much that. So it's a great show about this small underfunded elementary school called Abbott Elementary. And it's either Boston or Baltimore, Philly. Philly, that's when that's Philly. And it just follows like the staff there, and it's got some of the quirkiness things. You will love the Halloween episode because it was all Marvel all the time. Including the villain of the episode is Baby Thanos. because the show is on ABC, they got to play with all the Disney stuff.
They get all the toys. They get,
get all the toys. So check out Abbott Elementary. It's and again, similar to Modern Family. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek and jokey, but then has a lot of really good themes, and they know when they have to get a little serious. Good. And it talks a lot about, hey, again, as you would know from your previous position, what's it like to work in like a public school?
Yeah.
And dealing with the parents and the kids and all that. So, all right.
Yeah.
Check it out. The other one is episode 2 of Shaq. Which follows the career of Shaquille O'Neal. He moved to his time with the Lakers. Even if you're not a sports fan, it is really great just to hear his perceptions of his life. The first episode talked about his childhood, especially the hormone disorder that actually caused him to be 7'1", 315 pounds. Titans was great. Mm-hmm. As always, since you're the DC master here, so I'm going to leave Titans to you so I get the feeling. And then my last two, I'll take a couple seconds on. I think this past week was my absolute favorite episode so far of Tulsa King.
Really?
Have you seen this week's episode?
I have not. I have not seen it. We had my mom and my brother and my little niece was here all weekend, and then I was busy. We went to Isle Casino and Hotel wife's Christmas party on Friday
night.
I ended up working all weekend long.
Sure. Okay.
And I haven't got to Blue Bloods, I haven't got to Tulsa King.
I have not gotten to Yellowstone myself, but so here's the best part about Tulsa King. Two things. Number one, this was the episode, without giving too many spoilers, you see Stallone's gangster come out. Like, he's gotta take care of some business. And he's got to bring Bodie along. That by itself was fantastic. Because Bodie's like, okay. So this was the one where he totally takes his gloves off. There is no doubt you are working for a gangster. If you had any illusions about who you're working for, this episode got rid of them. And similar to episode 2, Stallone continues to impress me with his ability to act dramatically. Some of the episode 2, the end of episode 3 was 5 to 10 minutes of just a really good dramatic scene and him showing you his actual acting chops. So the majority of the episode, it's kind of like his moves are in the 80s. He's just a badass whooping ass taking names. The ending though shows you that this man can act.
Nice.
And it was just a great combo. And then the last one, this was, I will say, this all putting all the cards on the table. This was a show that when I first watched it, I did not like it. I have, though, come around to enjoying.
Okay.
That show is Willow. I actually watched the first episode of Willow the day it debuted, which would have been Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
And we're recording on a Sunday, February 4th. Excuse me, December 4th.
Yeah.
I watched an episode, had no desire to watch episode 2.
Yep.
I was like, And then I just thought, you know what? I'll rewatch it. And it clicked better. The first episode definitely clicked better. And I really liked the second.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm
a dig Willow. I really do.
Yeah. I was the same way. Like, there were several things with that. The first episode had issues. It really, really did. It's for me anyway. But then throughout the second episode, it kind of brought it back, and I was in. So
the first episode to me, and I think they actually gave it because I was kind of checked out. I was kind of half listening on the end of the first episode, and I rewatched a little more intensely, and so it made me have to realize why I didn't like the first one and why I like it now. Because they actually talk about the first episode felt so much like a Disney, because it's a Disney show, a G-rated probably TV-14 rated version of Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings, just this whole fellowship thing and this world of fantasy. And they kind of say that at the end of the first episode, like, hey, our fellowship, and then I kind of like, okay, that was kind of funny. And then, and I didn't say this earlier, my name is Brian, that's dealing with the S stands for Borman, because I really
we never did that.
Yes. But Borman, who is the rogue of the show, he and Granard, who is the guy that played Flash Thompson, as well as the person that played Flag Smasher from Captain America: The Winter Soldier, that's Kit the Knight. Both of them. But Borman and Granard really, Borman and Granard make the show for me so well. And it's just great to see Willow back. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, Warwick Davis.
And again, this is beside the point. I have a little bit of a healthcare background. When you're born with dwarfism, it takes a toll on your body. And you can see in some of those scenes, that's probably take a lot of effort for him to make those even as walking to make those scenes happen. So good job out of Warwick Davies. Gave me all my 80s flashbacks back. I appreciated that. And so Willow, we've not broken our beardy scale right now. On a scale of 1 to 5 beardies, I'ma give it 4.25. Definitely after the first watch, I would give it a 3. This I'm gonna give it 4.25, and I'm excited for the next episodes.
I will give it.
If you give it a 5, I'm turning off my camera. I'm gonna do this right now. If you give it a 5, I'm turning off my camera.
I will give it 2.5 beardies. As of right now,
sir,
I am hopeful.
That may be your all-time low, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we would have done a bearded for Andor,
that's what I was going to ask you.
It would have been clean shaven.
You read my mind, sir. All right, Hawk, you read my mind. Okay.
Yep.
By the way, we now know who we're going as for our Halloween themed episode next year.
Yeah.
And notice I gave you Hawk. And if you don't know why, read up on the Legion of Doom. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Enough said about that. I'll go into my top here.
Please do.
So, on the top of my top, to get into the holiday spirit,
sir,
sometimes you just need a little violent night.
How was that?
Oh, it was so amazing.
I
loved it. There is just something amazing about Santa doing inappropriate things, saying things. Well, that we try to keep this PG, but go see the movie.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
Is he more Hopper or Hellboy?
He's more Hopper.
Thank goodness. Okay.
He's more Fat Hopper. He's more Fat Hopper.
And we love us a Fat Hopper. We love ourselves. You know what I always say? If you're going to have a Hopper,
make it a Fat Hopper. Fat.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I will say that I don't think any other actor could have done this besides him. Like this role, the way that they filmed it, they did it, it was written. It almost seems like they were sitting around like, dude,
they wrote it for him, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, like, I can't think any other actor that could have pulled off this kind of Santa Claus. Believable.
Okay. And
it was so amazing. This might even surpass Die Hard as the greatest of all Christmas movies.
No, really?
Yes, I am saying it right here, right now.
Okay. So then here's my question. Then who are you picking if we had our revenge battle? Are you picking David Harbour and in Violent Night? Or are you picking Billy Bob Thornton from the original, not the sequel, the first Bad Santa? Who's winning that fight?
I'm going David Harbour.
Because he had Leah Santa instead of the guy in the suit who works at the mall?
Well, right, correct. And with the backstory in the movie, yeah. Let's just say that he does some stuff.
Yeah.
He does some stuff, man.
All right, so you're saying in the Hell in a Cell match, we have an outside interference from Krampus, which gives David Harbour the win. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Buddy. Yeah. So let me know if you want to see it, because I definitely want to see it.
I would
it again.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah.
We'll,
okay.
We need to go. Let's plan perfect. That.
Yeah. We'll violent it up. All right. Okay. Yep. Violent Night. Marking it down. All right.
So other than that, I want to. Criminal Minds is fantastic right now.
Yes.
Even
missing my twin, my nipple twin.
Right, Shamar even, Moore, yeah.
Yes, yep. Even missing. They've got to figure out a SWAT Criminal Minds, like, over, like, just to watch Garcia, like, just have that moment, like, I wouldn't, yeah, I just would love to have a crossover. Yeah, to have the crossover between SWAT and Criminal Minds Evolution.
Ooh, I do miss Reed. I do want Reed to show up somewhere. Yes. I hope he does.
The way they talk about him, I get the feeling if they already haven't had something with Spencer Reed, the character in there, they're working on that. Those bridges have not been burned, so I get the feeling they you don't mention someone in the first episode like that, and without either being a clear plan or an effort. For a plan. So it would not shock me if we don't get, probably not a member of the ongoing cast, unfortunately, but even just a one shot, just have him come in, help solve the crime, and go about his day. Mm-hmm. And I always love when they try to make the guy who's a model look dorky and uncool. Like, really? Like,
yeah.
Like, some of the Eric Redmayne, like anything Eric Redmayne is in, is like, if you've ever seen Eric Redmayne, like, I don't care if you're playing Hawking or Newt, like, dude.
Yeah.
You look better than me in anything that you do. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Then Yellowstone and Mythic Quest, both fantastic. Yellowstone is just, here's my thing with Yellowstone though. I'm almost to the point where I'm tired of the Beth and Jamie thing.
Okay.
You know, like it's almost to the point where like, okay, guess what? You're an aunt now. I mean, like,
yeah.
I understand what happened. And granted, I'm not a woman. I don't understand. You know, I if you haven't watched Yellowstone, she is trying to have an abortion. She goes to her older brother. Mm-hmm. The only place that they can go to because they're underage is an Indian reservation, which means she gets a hysterectomy. And this causes her to hate
the entire slide. Yeah.
Hate Jamie.
Uh-huh.
And she's, I mean, it's overkill now. I mean, it's okay. To the point where it's like, I get it. You know, I understand. However, the dude has saved your skin several times.
Many times.
You know, and now he's got a kid. Yeah. I mean, just like, I'm going to take your kid. I mean, man, I don't know, man.
And the one thing they have to watch with Beth's character, why she is great. And let's be real. Angry, crazy Beth is the Beth we all love, right? We don't like happy, functional Beth.
Right.
You know, we want Beth drunk, half out of her mind, you know, again, just punching people, taking names, no matter who or what you are, including her dad, all right?
Yeah.
That being said, they have to be careful that sometimes she comes off as straight up psychotic, and that seems, like you said, be a little overkill, like, okay, but for all the other things, like, this, one of these doesn't, you know, mesh up, so...
Yeah,
I do feel your point. Like, let's not lose the plot here, and you know, and again, I come at it from the other side. Like, can you give Jamie a break?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, what else was? I mean, like, what else were you supposed to do?
I mean, poor. I would love to be at those table reads,
right?
Where you know it's like, okay, Papa Dutton's gonna run for public office, and Rip's gonna, you know, have a love scene with Beth, and Beth's gonna like. Take over another corporation, and here's what Jamie's gonna do. He's gonna cry. Like, really? Like, yeah, Jamie can't get any, like, at this point, it's like, you know, we're all full-blooded siblings, but I didn't get the badass gene. Like,
well, he's not.
Oh, no, he isn't. Right, no. Right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, so Yellowstone, good, but let's give us a little, let's take Beth off the crazy train a little bit. Let's talk about her character. And again, as two guys with a very simple free podcast, we do not know what we speak, just going from the viewer side of it. So,
absolutely.
And for anyone that's had anything even close to that, you know, all of us, you know, we really hope no one is ever put in that tough of a position. We know it happens.
Yeah,
but we really hope very few people ever, and hopefully no one, is ever put in that tough of a position. All right, sir.
Correct. I also want to bring up, there are some pretty big trailers that came out. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Beast Wars, and Indiana Jones 5.
Can't. Just can't.
Oh, buddy.
Can't. They lost me. Okay, they lost me with Sean Connery can't save the series, but the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, they lost me so much.
Oh man.
Like Shia LaBeouf kills most things he touches. Like, I mean, it's just like, seriously, when they were digging those holes in the desert with Sigourney Weaver and John Boyd, I was like, can you leave Shia in one of them? You know, like, we don't, you know, yeah.
But then he does Peanut Butter Falcon.
Which is fantastic.
Right.
Which is fantastic. He actually was pretty, he was good at Constantine, he was good at iRobot, but those are movies where there was less Shia than more Shia. Which one are you?
Constantine.
Did you forget he was in Constantine?
I forgot he was in Constantine.
Yes, this is Chaz. Bam, 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 bam. You know what? When the ancient one takes you out, can you really complain?
I mean, yeah, right, exactly.
Did you just notice that? And because she actually, God, I have to double check. I think Tilda plays Satan in a role as well, so she may go down as one of the people who play both an angel and Satan in different roles. I think she does play Satan in a film, but anyway, Tilda Swinton is fantastic, but yes, yeah, there's a point in time where even when the ancient one, when an angel, they go, you know what, it's time for you to take a seat, and at that point, I'm sorry, Harrison Ford, I'm glad you can still make Star Wars and indie money. I just can't. I just can't.
Awesome. And then a couple of little shows. I did my second kid's book is called Stuffed Animal Night Force versus the Dream Invaders. And it is about.
Time out. Please, as your partner and friend, give me that title one more time. Run that back for me. Come on.
Stuffed Animal Night Force.
Stuffed Animal Night Force versus.
The Dream Invaders.
Bro. That sounds like the most iconic. Like, you would rush home for, like, when we were kids or in the 80s, you would rush home for school, you know, grab, like, your Lunchable, or if you were really, or your family, like, having some money, the Uncrustables, mm-hmm. and, like, you would sit down with your chocolate milk, your Uncrustables, you know, and you turn on, like, right on the dot, 4 o'clock. This would be that show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, that had that is, dude, bro. If you don't get, if there are any animation companies listen to the podcast, Filmation, if you're listening, and we know you are, you've got to make this a show. You got to make, this is why we need the Cartoon Express. This is why we need USA to bring back the Cartoon Express for this show.
Would you like a quick sneak peek? Do you want to see a little bit of the cover?
Absolutely.
All right, let's see if I can bring it in really quick here. Oh, it helps if I go to the right area.
I learned that lesson going through. Never mind.
Oh, it's not a JPEG. Okay, yeah, I'll send it over to you.
Please
and
do.
And then maybe we'll do a we'll talk about it next week. But yeah,
yeah.
So. That happened. It should be out a week from now. I think I'm gonna try to get it out on Wednesday. I'll okay. submit it, and so hopefully it'll be out by Friday.
Okay.
I'm pretty happy with the way that everything turned out. There was a little bit. It works. I think there might end up being a second volume. I might do a little bit more work because now I think I want to write scripts for it and try to push it out there now that I got the bug.
Okay.
But yeah, you'll definitely get to see the book a little bit before everybody else. Brother,
very cool.
And then finally, I did an episode of the Fandemic with one Ashley that we did the House of Ash. And we just talked about Wednesday. She's a good friend of mine from way back when, from back in like, sure. man, we've known each other since like 2002.
Nice.
So that was a lot of fun, man. That was,
and it just makes me sad that 2002 is soon to be 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Think about that. It is seriously, in less than a month, it will be 21 years ago since 2002. Like, seriously, if you were born in 2002, in a few months, you will be able to drink if you were a person legally.
I know it's It's crazy. Like, if for now, if you like when you're IDing people, you just make sure that there's a 19 on there, you know?
Yes,
it's
like, yes, like, wow. And by the way, for anyone that is 2002, just to let you know, if your first drink is a White Claw, you're doing it wrong. All right, sir.
Yes. Exactly what Brian said.
Yes. And while I am truly afraid of us being sued, I think we do need to scroll instead of the more you know. How about the stuff you know? Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Ooh, you know what?
Yes. As you're learning at the knee of Uncle Brian and Uncle Bradley. Yes. Could you imagine if we were someone's like legit uncles? That poor kid. Like they would be. They could talk about anything and would have like healthy relationships ever.
Yeah.
Like they'd be like, okay, we don't need to understand how these two movies tie into each other. We just, you know, can we watch the film? All right, but understand the cinematography. No, just we want to watch the trailer. Yes. Sir. That may be the hashtag on every one of my Facebook posts from now on. Growth through, I'm serious. It might be a thing. Growth through stupidity. Yes.
that might be the title of the episode. All right, Brian. Let's go ahead and let's get into our main topic of our greatest disappointments of 2022.
All right. Do we have time for an honest ad, or do you want to jump to the list?
Yes, let's do
that. There's always time for an honest ad, sir. All right, so, again, catch up our podcast listeners. So the theme for the month, for our recording that are coming out anyway, in the month of December, is Brian is going to give an honest ad for a classic Christmas movie. So last week, we did It's a Wonderful Life. This week, we're doing Home Alone. So Bradley, here's the honest ad for Home Alone. Let's all celebrate the holidays with a little childhood neglect. Home Alone tells the story of young master Kevin McAllister, who after being deprived of his favorite pizza, plain cheese. By the way, if your favorite pizza is plain cheese, you're doing it wrong. He was threatened with sharing his bed with an incontinent cousin, played by his brother, actually. And being called a jerk by his freeloading uncle, this innocent young man was abandoned and left for dead by negligent parents who go on vacation in Paris. They weren't going down the street. They weren't going to the lake. They left the country, all right? This sounds like something that would be on, like, you know, a crime TV, okay? This sounds like a Hulu miniseries. Over the next several days, Kevin must fight for his very life from robbers, obtain food from the grocery store, and survive an awkward old aftershave incident. And what young man hasn't been there? At the end of his traumatic ordeal, Kevin is rescued by his shovel-wielding neighbor, who calls the police, but not DHS, and still lets the minor child spend Christmas Eve alone, before his family conveniently arrives and commits him with their holiday before losing him again 2 years later. And as always, Bradley, keep the change, you filthy animal. The yes. Honest ad for Home Alone.
Very good, man. Very good. We actually just watched that a couple weeks ago.
Seriously. The older you get, though, the more, okay, all right, we know the stuff we normally talk about on this podcast, but Home Alone is one of those movies that is watching through an adult lens of like,
yep,
no,
yeah,
no, uh-uh. Like, the idea that the entire city of Chicago didn't have phones.
Right. I mean, I get there's a lot of crime in Chicago.
The entire city. Okay, all the neighbors are gone. Okay, your kid goes to public school, I think. There's no way, even the school that closed for the holiday, no one. There's no 911. There's no, like, yeah, you could have left a message. The entire city, one of the biggest cities in the entire country. No phones. Nothing worked. No one could talk to anyone. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because I think if you watch the movie closely, there are a couple times people were like getting pizza delivered. So how did that happen? This is pre-apps. So yeah.
And like she couldn't just call the house.
None of the things.
And he couldn't call his, and Kevin couldn't call his relatives in Paris.
Sure, right. Like nobody knew anything. But he could break. But he could rob Bud though of the money to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So Kevin, I'm talking about Kevin, but Bradley, but third.
Ooh.
Do you think that Kevin McAllister is the stepbrother of Winona Ryder from Beetlejuice, as both of them have Catherine O'Hara as their mother?
I love this. I love this a lot. You just won the episode,
Thank you. Could you imagine Odo and Kevin McAllister?
You could draw a line between Odo and Bud.
Yes. And you could draw a line between Joe Pesci and Jeffrey Jones, because one plays a criminal, one is a criminal. And again, if you don't get the reference, just Google Jeffrey Jones, and that'll, you know, kind of like you're everyone, you're welcome. As Justin, for all the years of Smallville, what we found is the real villain was Allison Mack. Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's some Nexium shit there.
Okay, this is proven. You want to market a cult? Give me a cute blonde girl. Be like, sure, it's fine. Sure, I'll go do it.
Wasn't the dad in Beetlejuice too?
Yes, that was Jeffrey Jones. He's someone that's just started in a lot of kids' movies. So that's when you can, you know, put in your Christmas stockings, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, or holiday stockings. All right. So with that, sir, all right, can I revisit our greatest disappointments and give the audience what we're going to chat about?
Yes.
On our list? All right. So just to recoup, because again, we love our tangents on the show. Again, we're going to talk about the things that we have been the best of and now a little bit of the worst of for 2022, when it covered the shows, the movies, the magazines, the whatever, that now, we're not saying these are the worst. We're saying these are the greatest disappointments. So that may have been something that was bad. It may have been something that didn't live up to the expectations. It may have been something that we just saw and go, you know what? This wasn't what I wanted. This wasn't what I was expecting. But here are our greatest disappointments. And sir, since I went first last week, will you go first this week?
Absolutely. So I didn't really put these like as a, in an order, but I did 5 TV and 5 movies. So I'll kind of go over one movie and one TV show at a time. And we're going to start with a TV show that, if I had to number them, it'd probably be at number 5.
Sure.
And this is This or That, or as we like to call it, And Or. I don't know why everybody is saying this is the greatest Star Wars show. It doesn't even have a spark, to Eliza. I don't know. Andor, to me.
Remember, these are the same people that don't get She-Hulk, though. So
this is correct. Yeah. Andor, to me, had its moments.
Sure.
And the way the show went, it went bad or slow. Slow,
sure.
Okay, sure. Slow. Sure. You know, and so I just kept on getting taken out, and I went, and it took me too far out of the show before it brought me back in, and I couldn't even get back into it until the end.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I'm thankful we got new Star Wars, and if this is what brings you into Star Wars, that's awesome. Great. Right. I'm glad you like it. You know. It just wasn't for me. And you know what? That's fine.
And again, this is proof that you need John Favreau touching as many of your Star Wars products as possible. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for movie, we're going to talk about 355. The 355.
You saved me from watching this, by the way. I was going to watch it, and I heard your review. Go ahead. Sorry.
On the outside, looking in, this would be a great movie. Just watch the trailer. That's it. Because you want to see all these amazing, talented actresses kick a lot of butt. Spoiler alert, it sucks. They can't even save the movie. Is no plot, no real good action. There's no story, there's no good story to it. So the next show. This one I thought was gonna be good. It's the Mike Myers show.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed something. I don't know, but I just couldn't get into it. And then the movie. Now this was supposed to be pretty good. It had a big name, Chris Hemsworth, on it, and it was a Netflix movie called Spiderhead.
Mm-hmm.
It was slow. Mm-hmm. And I know Chris Hemsworth, he's kind of given himself that role that we want to see his muscles. We want to see him kick some butt. We want to see him in that.
Yes.
And he doesn't, he pulled off dumb blonde dude in the all females Ghostbusters.
Sure.
And he was probably the best part of that movie.
Yes.
However, this movie, it had the same thing like Andor. It would lose me. And then I just, I found myself like checking my phone more than watching the movie. And if you're a movie on Netflix where every person that's watching that movie has that ability to,
stop it, do whatever they want. Yep.
Yeah, it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're going to talk about another show called Good Sam. Good Sam, Doctor, it's a couple of good big names, bigger names.
Yep.
Kate Bush is one of them. She left. She was on Chicago PD.
Sophia Bush.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Kate Bush. We're not Stranger Things. Anyway, running up that hill.
But maybe. Yes.
Maybe it wasn't so good at all. Like, Good Sam was not too good. I like a good doctor show. I love the Good Doctor. I love the Resident. I could care less about the last 10 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. I think Grey's Anatomy's other way, Gunsmoke at this point, or The Simpsons. Like, how many seasons? Yeah.
And to match that show, we need to talk about She Said. She Said, if you don't know anything about the movie, it's about the takedown of Harvey Weinstein.
Sure.
Which, to me, I'm interested in that. It was hard. Man, I just couldn't get into it, man. Okay. Like, it tried too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we already knew the story, like what happened.
Sure. And you at least know it's probably ending up. Yeah.
Yeah. She said also suffered from this thing. Like, when I go to the movies, I want to be taken out of reality. I want a good story. I want to get into that story. And this was, this was just like, you could have got the story from just scrolling up and down your Facebook. It didn't do anything for me. I didn't even make it through the entire movie. I left. It was there's probably a little bit left. I was falling asleep. Okay. So back to another show. How I Met Your Father.
Almost made my list. Yes.
I don't care how you met your father. It's dumb. Hilary Duff, thank you for all you do.
But, yes, Hillary. We do appreciate you.
We very much appreciate you.
Yes.
Can you please find? I mean, I'm sure. Go talk to the folks at DC. I think they could find a good spot for you. I think you'd make a great Black Canary because she's a singer.
Yes.
I mean, actually, Actually, that's not bad. Actually,
that is really good. Right off the top of your head. That's really good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I wouldn't mind seeing you hang out with the Green Arrow, you know, so definitely go do that. Don't do How I Met Your Father. It's not very good. So saying how I Met Your Father, we need to talk about another movie. This will be my last movie and my last show. Well, let's do the movie. We're going to talk about The Woman King.
Really? Because I know you initially you really dug The Woman King.
Yeah, so here's my problem with The Woman King is when you say it's based on actual events, make sure it's at least in the realm of those actual events.
Yes.
Because people like me they're going to look it up. The movie would have been great if it took place on a different planet.
Sure.
Not
say it's based on actual events.
Right.
Because there was no need to say that because, like you said, the minute you do that,
yeah,
people like yourself are going to go, oh, well, what's the rest of the story? Yeah, and
yeah,
the story is this wasn't a story. This didn't exist. This didn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
a story that
was kind of the other way.
A story that should probably not have been told in the way that it was told.
Now, the only thing I can tell you about The Woman King is it probably is going to get Viola Davis an Oscar. That's the early, you know, thing of it that it most likely is going to get her an Oscar.
I will vote for Angela Bassett in Wakanda Forever
You beat me to what I was going to say. But when Wakanda is more based in facts than The Woman King, you have some problems. Yes.
Yeah. And that was the hard part with that movie. Because the movie itself is good. Mm-hmm. It's the inaccuracies that make it bad.
But they were sold as being accurate, you know.
Right. Again. You know, and that's a hard one because you're like, where do you give? You know?
Sure.
Because I know she said there's some of that too. There's a lot of like they overplay it for the audience.
I mean, notice that. I mean, even in anything that says this involves historical events. I mean, JFK, anything we've ever done that so is supposedly a biopic or historical pic. Mm-hmm. They don't say they always lead with based on actual events or based on a true story because there is always that artistic. Like sometimes for just brevity.
Yeah,
like we have to combine a couple characters into one, or we got to skip over this, or it's going to be a 9-hour movie, right?
Yeah.
There's some of that, but The Woman King took artistic license to a level that, at this point, it is just a movie, and that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But then don't bill it as based on true events. That's the only thing. They left that out. I think the movie would have been a hit, and it would have been fine.
Right. That is exactly right. The other one that like that was Till. I never saw it, but a lot of people were coming out of the theater and they're like, that's not good at all.
Especially because you have so many people that lived through that event that are still with us, right?
Yeah.
It didn't take place in another country. It took place in the South. It took place, you know, a while ago, but a time that, again, a lot of people are still with us. So, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that was enough negativity about that movie. I still
a little bit left. I can feel it.
Right. I still, you know, definitely it is worth a watch, though. You definitely want to watch it. I will end this with Resident Evil.
I so like Resident Evil, but I think I know where you're going with it.
Yeah, man. It just.
There are no surprises. I mean,
you knew what it was, and it just was. Man, I wanted so much more. I wanted more Resident Evil.
Sure.
Evil in it.
Yep.
And I never got it. I kept on waiting for it.
Yeah.
And it felt like a chore to watch it. And if it feels like a chore to watch it, then it's not fun.
Sure.
So I think, Leia, what were you talking about?
You have a cape? I think I see a cape.
Oh, you're a horsey. She's a horsey. I'm a horsey. I have a tail. Oh, she's got a tail.
Maybe you should show her Mr. Ed and go from there.
Something.
You want to say something? Okay, say something.
I love the Thor shirt, by the way.
So, thanks. This boy over here when he left
work,
you
with the boy?
Or right before he went to work, I told him if he could get me pretzel bites and what are they called?
Tater tots.
Tater tots.
Sonic.
After he got off work. And then when me and mommy were going off from Five Below or going off from Five Below, I told her there's like an 85% chance when he gets home, I'm gonna say, "So where are they?" And he's gonna be like, "Oh no, I forgot." And then when he got home, I said, "So where are my tater tots and my pretzel bites?" He's like, "Oh crap, I forgot."
She wanted me to bring her home some food from B&B, and I forgot.
And then,
In my defense,
you went to the gas station.
In my defense, I never got a reminder text.
I was going to, but my phone died. And I was
She wasn't that hungry then. It's okay.
Correct.
It's okay.
All right, honey. We're going to finish up our podcast, okay? Say bye. Ooh. Say bye. Okay.
Bye.
There we go. Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. So Bradley, as a father myself, and again, we're approximately very close in age. The fact that she had the ability to ask for pretzel bites and tater tots, you know what? You maybe want to accidentally forget more often. So,
you know what? I did.
There you go. There you go, sir. No. And what was your final show? I'm not sure if we heard that.
Oh, Resident Evil.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And you know what? I actually did like the Resident Evil show, but I can tell you kind of what it was again. That you're right. It just didn't. It wasn't Resident Evil. It was not. It wasn't. All the stuff with the Umbrella Corps. I mean, it just didn't give us that. And had this been the only Resident Evil product, then sure. But given how long that history of the video game and the movies have been, it just wasn't. It wasn't. And they were they're obviously trying to relaunch the series, trying to make a different direction, kind of fresh. I was going to get some paychecks out of this. But you're right. It wasn't. I think it's a solo shot. Again, it was something I could binge in one afternoon, basically. Mm-hmm. And it killed some time. And, you know, it's something I can watch and be violent. Again, we talked before. It's a popcorn show. It is not changing your life. It is not enlightening you to anything. It's a good way to waste an afternoon on the weekend with, again, maybe with some pretzel bites and some with ranch, though.
Yeah,
beer cheese if you got it for the pretzel bites.
I wish we had that away.
All the beer cheese, dude. I might have to go to the store when we get done. But that being said, there's a time and a place, and you know, Resident Evil just didn't connect, and I totally feel you.
It definitely should have been its own thing. They should not have even connected it with Resident Evil.
Yeah,
I will say this. The main actress, that young lady, she was fantastic. She did such a great job. So the positive and the negative.
So, by the way, while I do think you're right on with Hillary Duff, I do have one more for you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Black Canary, give us Black Cat. All the Felicity, luck powers. I would buy the poster.
You know who else could be a really cool Black Cat? It might be kind of cool.
Who would it be, sir?
Jenna Ortega, who played Wednesday.
Yeah. And by the way, she pulled off Wednesday really good.
Yeah.
Like I said this last week's show, she made me forget about Christina Ricci as Wednesday, and that's tough to do. Christina Ricci really was great as Wednesday. All that set aside, she did a great job. She did a great job.
One thing you'll never forget about Christina Ricci is Black Snake Moan.
I've never wanted to be Samuel Jackson. So I don't even think he got paid. I really don't think he got paid.
I think he asked for money in that one.
No, I think they pitched him the idea. And he was like, sure. Well, we have a script. Here's a contract. I'll just show up. Like that movie, like here's the deal. That movie was so wonderful in so many inappropriate ways. I remember watching it and someone going, so what do you think about Justin Timberlake? He was in the movie? That was Timberlake?
Yeah.
But I will say, after watching his scenes, that movie didn't make me go, all right. So, oh, well, yes.
You already won the episode, buddy.
I gotta keep it going. I'm trying to win next week too. I gotta keep these. These are things, sir, from the Infinity Cup. All right. So, okay, that was a good list. We actually did match on one, and I bet you know which one that was. Okay. So here's how I did my list. So I did my list a little different, where I again kind of topics for in the intro. Some of the ones on my list, I don't even think are bad. They just weren't either what I was expecting or as good as I think they could have been. I thought there was some wasted potential here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through my real quick honorable mention and I give you my top five. So first off is number one in my, in no particular order, my honorable mentions, but I'm leading off with Jurassic Park World Dominion. We went and saw this in the theater. I actually liked the movie, but my critique of the movie is that it didn't give us, similar to Songs Can Use More Cowbell, this could have used more Goldblum. It just didn't give us enough Jeff Goldblum.
You know, and here's the thing, like in any product, if this is free advice, we're not even going to bill you for it.
Sure, absolutely. And we know you're listening.
That's right. If you have a project and you want it to be successful and it sucks.
Yes.
All you do is insert Goldblum.
Goldblum.
I mean, we
Goldblum in a black shirt, in a black shirt. That for my friend Candy, that also just for some reason becomes unbuttoned about halfway, and he lounges back. Just yes, I know the countdown clock is at 3 seconds. Don't worry. Jeff Goldblum's here, you know, like, seriously. Dude, I watched The Fly and Roof of the Fly, you know?
Right, I know. I mean, it's...
Come
it's,
on, Gina Davis, could you, like, you could do better.
It's
half man, half fly. Come on.
Yeah. And I promise you, when we get into the next year, we will not put Jeff Goldblum into everything. I mean, I'm not going to 100% promise. Okay.
I refuse to make that promise.
We will try. We will try to not put.
Okay. This is the beardy alert. This is only Bradley talking about it. Okay. All right. So again, not a bad movie. It's really in the can of Jurassic Park. It was pretty decent. And again, if they, I know this is supposed to be the last one, they've said that before. So if there's one more, again, a word of advice, less Chris Pratt, more Jeff Goldblum, and more Bryce Dallas Howard, if you can fix that too. All right. Another show that, again, liked it, just was not what I was expecting, because they had the star of the show without his helmet far too damn long, and that show is Halo.
You know, I almost put Halo in mine, but I was like, Halo, I was already going to go Andor for the same kind of reason.
Sure.
And Resident Evil. Those were like the ones that were kind
of... Yeah. I mean, most of the ones on my list aren't necessarily bad movies or TV shows. They just could have been better. This is really a waste of potential. This list is not worse. It's most disappointing. Okay. Lock and Key Season 3, just compared to Lock and Key Seasons 1 and 2, just didn't live up to it. It had too much of, and I'm forgetting the kids, I want to say Bodie, had too much Bodie in it. Again, I think he just, kind of like anything when you've got a really cute kid who the audience digs, you get too much. And I was worried that they would go that route with Stranger Things and making it basically the 11 show. They've not done that. So again, I know Lock and Key is basically done. Mm-hmm. But if it they is. Did somehow come up with a season 4 just for the heck of it, take any shows on Netflix, as well as the streaming service, because you can rewatch the product so many times. Mm-hmm. Take a hint from Stranger Things, where less is more. Stranger Things could easily be the Hopper show. It could easily be the 11 show. I mean, they could really just make it about one or two very specific characters, and everybody falls in the background. They don't do that. Even with characters that they know are going to be one season only characters, they don't, you know, they leave them. The Duffers do such a great job of giving everybody their chance to lead an episode, a scene, a moment. Just keep that in mind. All right. The Man for Toronto. Now, here's the thing. I love me some Kevin Hart. and I really like Woody Harrelson. And this is a Netflix movie that is basically, and Brad, give a look on your face. If you missed this, it's okay.
Yeah, I missed
it. So basically the idea of the Man of Toronto for Toronto is Kevin Hart plays a fish out of water where he gets confused with an assassin whose code name is, or handle is, the Man from Toronto, who is Woody Harrelson. Hmm. And they wind up, like all these movies would do, and there's nothing wrong having a movie that sort of has a formula that works, because that's why the formula works, is you've got the real man from Toronto, the fake man from Toronto, they intersect, and they have to work together to basically beat the ultimate big bad of the film. All those pieces were there, they just didn't click. And Kevin Hart, this is a typical Kevin Hart movie where he's got a buddy of four, where it's been The Rock, it's been Ice Cube. You know, that's kind of what Kevin Hart does. It just didn't work well for Man from Toronto. And then my last one from the top five, and this has even been more egregious given how good Wednesday was, the Munsters movie. I wanted to like that so darn much. And it just didn't develop. They wanted to make, and again, I was definitely more of a Munsters TV show fan and was really excited to get like a really good Munsters movie a la Addams Family. And it's just the Munsters, even in retrospect, is much more cartoonish. And maybe it was animated, but it just didn't work. So again, and that honestly of my. That one I would say was a bad movie. The Munsters Without Force, I thought was just a bad movie. All right. My top five. Number five, God's Favorite Idiot. If you missed this, be glad you did. It stars Melissa McCarthy, who I really adore, and her real-life husband, I'm blanking on his name, in a vehicle, God's Favorite Idiot. Melissa McCarthy's husband is usually in most of her her films, using very small roles, similar to Nina Vardalos' husband from fame from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Their spouses are often in their films in smaller roles. This was to really give her husband a real good piece of this, and it just didn't work. It should have been funny. It should have been irreverent. It should have been tongue-in-cheek, and it just came off like I'm waiting to laugh. And it's not supposed to be funny. And if you're waiting for the laughter to come, that's not a good sign. Another one that we saw in the theater together, I believe, my friend, The Secrets of Dumbledore. So there are a couple things. Now, again, I understand this. It's a challenge to give all credit to the filmmakers. It is a challenge to make something as iconic as a film in the wizarding world of Harry Potter that does not feature kids. That does not, and forget no Harry, no Ron, no Hermione. These two movies, or these three movies, excuse me, didn't have any kids. These were meant to be very much American-centric and very much adult-centric. And it did both those things, unfortunately, did both those things. Probably is a reason why maybe kids' movies feature kids.
Yeah.
And you do things in this magical world and you put it in the U.S. It just didn't work. Again, Eric Redmayne did his best. Johnny Depp, who again, I think we both really like, he came with the second one that already was a champ. I really want to call him Farrell. I mean, the first one was probably the best. The Force thing with the extra Dumbledore, and we never got the real story with Nagini. That was very interesting. They never followed through with that, and just the resolution just fell flat. Like, there's an election, they disputed the results, and they stormed the Capitol. But this time they were right. I was like, okay, I'm sort of like, wait, that's the message? Maybe? Like, I know the movie was probably in the can a while before, but maybe just...
So...
Yeah.
Again, you already won this episode.
Sir.
I'm sorry, but in any movie that is ever made that has a Wizarding World in it, I should not have a better beard than Dumbledore.
Yo. And the thing of it also is they gave us, okay, again, if you go back to the, if you go back in for the first two movies that they did, so Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and The Crimes of Grindelwald, they hinted around the Dumbledore-Grindelwald relationship. Mm-hmm. And many of us wanted there to be the big reveal, especially in the face of some of the comments J.K. Rowling has made about trans individuals. And so, you know, and in the books, to be fair, she had mentioned, also in interviews, she mentioned Dumbledore's sexual orientation. And it's got, okay, and the whole deal of, you know, where you're like brothers closer, like where are we getting from this? And they really gave us that in the first few minutes where he mentioned he was in love with Grindelwald and all these things. And that's been, that was a moment they could have drawn out mm-hmm. to that big, you know, final fight. But in the, by the way, there was no real final fight between him and Grindelwald. It was really Newt and all these things. And I always thought one of the things they missed, and I'm going off on, like, again, these people paid lots of money to make this movie and people went to pay it to go see it. So they know better than I really believe that. But that did, they also had so many of the magical creatures, like have a title on the screen, you know, like, you know, have a companion book, all these things that these are great marketing things that you could have done that now it's just like, okay. And this is, and you know, and we didn't have very much of, we unfortunately didn't have very much of, blanking on Newt's love interest. She really was absent from the third movie. By the way, do you know who her dad is?
No.
Gong Gong. Sam Waterston from Law and Order.
What?
Yes. Yes, her father is, she was raised in Britain, but she is, she holds, I saw this article and she holds joint U.S. British citizenship and both her parents are American. And yes, Sam Waterston is her dad. So
that's again, pretty awesome.
That is pretty, which again goes, could she prosecute? They could have, like, you know, because she worked for the cops.
There's something wrong. Your sound is coming up kind of all weird on my end. Are you still there? All right, unmute. You're muted.
All right, how's that, sir?
Ah, that's good. I was enjoying the high-pitched talk.
Okay, sure. So I'm sure for our audience, they're going to love that. Okay, so anyway, so just in case you didn't hear kind of my lead up to it, I wanted this movie as number two. I wanted this movie to be successful, number one, because I really liked the actual actor who was the star of the movie. I liked the character he portrays. And this, while not quite the MCU, I want anything that features a Marvel character to be successful. And this one just was not it. Which is Morbius. I just really wanted that to be done well, and it wasn't. The special effects were good. Yeah. But again, it just made me understand, reinforces why Man-Bat would never be as good as Batman, because it just didn't work. And again, maybe this was under the MCU proper. Jared Leto, I think, is an amazing actor. I think this is a role he could have had a lot of fun with, and it just didn't come together at all. All right. And I think maybe because it was less known character, if it was part of the bigger MCU, introduce him with Blade or something and then do a spinoff versus leading with that. But you know what? Ant-Man, very much a niche character, and they made two very good movies starring that character. All right. And last but not least, now, This is supposed to be the most disappointing of 2022. Bradley, I am going to take a little liberty as your co-host and go, this movie technically came out in 2021, but it came out so close to 2022. And I think the ramifications we felt throughout 2022, I just went with it, mm-hmm. which is Matrix Resurrections.
I'll allow it.
How many years between... How many years do we wait for Matrix? And let's remember, ladies and gentlemen. I mean,
we're still waiting in ways. We're still waiting.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's remember, while we talk about this as a movie that came out on HBO Max, and so we got to stream it, and for most of it, it's part of our monthly subscription, and we still feel some kind of way. Remember, the initial plan was to have this movie versus John Wick Chapter 4, and it to be the weekend of Keanu. I want to say it was going to be July 4th weekend. So the idea was for this movie and John Wick 4, we still have not gotten to go against each other and be Keanu versus Keanu. And I was going to lean towards seeing Matrix first because it had been so long. Yeah. And what we got was Neo or Mr. Anderson or whoever the hell he was supposed to be with really long hair, because I feel like Keanu didn't want to get a haircut. Like, I really think Keanu just did not want to get a haircut. And he wanted to wear his regular clothes. And he wanted to treat us like Bill and Ted. And we got that fake-ass Morpheus, who, by the way, is also a fake-ass Dr. Midnight, but we'll let that go. He did that role well. Dr. Manhattan, not Dr. Midnight. And it just was... It just seemed like we were just watching Neo go through therapy. And it just made me realize how smart of a man Lawrence Fishburne is. You go, I'm good. I'm totally good. This one, again, of my top five, these were more the ones that not only were disappointed, but they also just weren't good. Mm-hmm. And Dumbledore isn't bad. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't what I wanted to be. Andor honestly isn't bad. It's just, mm-hmm. but if you see other things around it, like Mandalorian, like Boba Fett, like Rogue One, it just falls in comparison. Morbius, again, not horrible, just wasn't very good. This was a bad movie.
Yeah.
This was a flat out bad movie with a really devoted fan base who waited a long time. And this is the product you gave us. And again, no one's ever paid me to do a thing like this. Mm-hmm. So, but this was why this was number one. It technically came out December, I think, 21st or 21. But we're going to say because of the ramifications, you're going down as Brian Dennis's, where the S stands for, God, I want my money back. Most disappointing product of 2022.
Yes. You won the episode, no doubt about that. Yeah, I can't argue with anything that you said on anything. With Matrix, you know, the first one was just so amazing. And really, that's all we got.
If you, again, for those of you that are too young or you only saw The Matrix on television, or, you know, again, you were just too young to see the theater. You weren't born yet to see the theater. All this. You don't understand, like, bullet speed and all those things that are really kind of been contracted because they're easy. Because as tech is better, mm-hmm. you can do those things easier. What the Wachowskis did in that first movie and the ad campaign, this is the most effective ad campaign was ever. All it was that green screen of The Matrix with all the code, and it says, what is The Matrix?
Yeah.
That's all it was. Four words and a question mark. What is The Matrix?
And it broke records.
And we came out in droves.
Whew.
And I remember coming back, and I went to work after seeing the movie. And one of my friends go, so what is The Matrix? I go, I don't know. But it was amazing. and you try and explain the plot and the things with the batteries and the virtual reality and the environment and the kung fu and all the things and just the cast and all those things. And we had never seen anything like this before. And, you know, that ending with Mr. Smith, you know, all those things. And then they gave us, you know, Neo sort of kind of being Jesus, and then Agent Smith going to the real world, okay, and then Neo's blind but can see, it's just in flames. So basically, let me get it straight, so you burn my eyes so you make everything cooler, because that kind of was a cool way to look at the world. And then what the hell happens with Neo? Like, you put them on the thing, and then again, we've said this before, if you have a trilogy, it's better stop at two with the Matrix. And again, last time I'll say this, no one's paid me to do any of this before. Stop at one. Because they got rid of, it's just, Carrie Ann Moss was so vital, and they tried to reinsert her with this. And it just, and again, the best thing you could say is Lawrence Fishburne just for whatever reason was not a part of this, and probably better for him.
Awesome. Well done, sir. Brian, you have some what came first for me, don't you?
Yes. We are going a bit long tonight. I apologize, our podcast listeners, but we will go through our which came first. This was inspired by my buddy Brad. So, Bradley, we are both music fans. Mm-hmm. So I am going to give you a which came first. I've got five of them. These are songs that I really like. And I want to know if you can tell me which of these songs came first. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. Bring it.
Okay. So first up, we got, and I get the feeling you are a fan of the song as well, we've got Whip It by DeVoe. By the way, do you know what DeVoe stands for? The evolution of music. They were saying they were breaking it down. Okay. So you got Whip It by DeVoe versus Night Moves by Bob Seger.
So Whip It, I know it was like 82, 83, but I'm thinking Night Moves was late 70s. I'm going to go with Night Moves, Bob Seger, and the Silver Bullet Band.
First off, you dropped Bob. You did the real deal, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, and you would be correct. It came out in 76. Whip It, though, came out earlier than you thought. Whip It actually came out in 80. Whip It actually...
Really?
And the reason people think it came out later is that the song was already a pop, was really a hit, and then they made the video, which made it more popular to MTV. So people think about when the video came out, but when the actual song came out, it was right in the early part of 1980. So you're a 101, sir. Okay.
Awesome.
Now, we both love us some hair metal, sir. Mm. So here we go, sir. So Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
Okay.
Versus You Don't Know What You've Got Till It's Gone by Cinderella.
Okay. Tom Kiefer, one of the greatest singers from that area, who actually had surgery on his vocal cords and had a falling out with the rest of the band Cinderella, and now is solo. And he's actually done some really good stuff with Lindsay Hale?
Yes.
And anyway, Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone was, I think it was on like the Long Cold Winter, I think was the name of the album.
Dude. Okay.
And that I'm going to think was about 88 or 89.
Okay.
Now, Poison, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, for the longest time, was what was my all-time favorite song.
It is.
It used to be.
Yeah, and it is truthfully of their, they have a long catalog of song, but it truly is the Poison song.
When most people
think about Poison, that is the song they say. Unskinny Bop for some reason isn't it. No clue why. Okay.
Right, exactly. You know, when I think of Poison, my favorite, well, I have three. One is Every Rose Has a Thorn. Yep. And then Something to Believe In.
Yes, very good. Very good song.
And then the other one I always listen to when I'm kind of feeling down. It's in my, one of my like pick me up sound playlists, and it's Cry Tough.
Good song as well. Yeah.
Just the lyrics of that song. Just get me every time. So, I'm going to put Every Rose right about 1987. And I'm going to say that Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone came out before Every Rose Has a Thorn.
You would be correct. You're off on the years, but you are correct. They both came out in 88. Ooh. However, You Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone came out in August of 88. Every Rose Has a Thorn came out in October of 88. So beat it by two months. Nice job, sir. By the way, I still want to be recognized that I dropped an Unskinny Bop reference in a podcast. Okay,
hey, but you did it on a show you already won.
Yes, but I just want for the viewing audience, for our listening audience. That's right, your boy Brian Dennis dropped Unskinny Bop. Okay, all right. Now I'm going way back because I raised in a house that we love soul music. Mm-hmm. So these were two songs that always were in my house on Saturday and Sunday when my parents ran. I mean, we had 8 tracks of these songs. Okay, so up first. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, Aretha Franklin's Respect.
Yes.
Or Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. Which one came first?
So, Respect is early 70s. And Everyday People... I want to say that's later. I'm gonna say Respect. I think so. I remember that Everyday People was more at the end of disco.
That's a good reference. Good reference.
Than Respect. So I'm gonna guess like 1978 for that. So I'm gonna say Respect.
All right, you are correct. Again, the years are a little off. I'll give you those, but Respect. So you are 3 for 3. So you have officially won. You have officially won. We'll go to last two. But Respect came out in 67. Everyday People, instead of being the tail end of the disco era, actually started it when it came out in 69. So Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. All right. Now, jumping ahead to something a little more modern. These are, again, two of my absolute... In fact, this one it would go in. If I had to say my top 5 songs of all time, this first one is always in my top 5, usually in my top 2. What It's Like by Everlast versus, and this one's been on my shuffle the last few days, She Talks to Angels by the Black Crowes. So again, Everlast, What It's Like, She Talks to Angels by the Black Crowes. Bradley, which one?
Yeah, so Everlast, I mean, he comes from House of Pain.
Yes, sir. So,
I mean, after he got done jumping around, Whitey Ford sings the blues.
Dude, I've never been more proud to be your podcast partner. I am loving you right now, sir.
And What It's Like is that's on every one of my playlists. Gym playlist, What It's Like is on there,
sir.
The Hype It Up Pat playlist. Yep, What It's Like is on there. You got to put that song on everything because it's at that level. What It's Like came out. Obviously in the 90s, but I'm gonna say about 93, 94. But now I think She Talks to Angels. Man, that's gonna be pretty close as well, which is probably. Black Crow. I mean, if you listen to She Talks to Angels and it doesn't hit you in the feels, you the need feels. Counseling,
sir.
And this one is tough. I'm gonna say just because I seem to remember Black Crowes earlier in the 90s. I think that that She Talks to Angels is probably going to be closer to House of Pain than it would have been What It's Like. So okay. I'm going to say She Talks to Angels came before.
You are correct. You are 4 for 4. But the difference in years is a little wider. She Talks to Angels, 91. By the way, that first major Black Crowes album, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Not to mention, Christopher Robinson married a very, very young. Yes, sir. So it didn't last long. It didn't have to.
Yep.
All right. What It's Like, again, Whitey Ford Sing the Blues, again, another fantastic album. Mm-hmm. Should be okay. But if you not listen to that album, first off, this song should be in everybody's playlist, as Bradley said. Listen to the entire damn album. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. What It's Like came out in 98. So a little later in the 90s. But again, you are 4 for 4. Now, Bradley, you know, the only thing better as professional wrestling fans. You know, the only thing better sometimes in that one-on-one matchup is when you make it a triple threat.
Ooh, I love it.
So we have 3 songs here.
Okay.
So first off, again, I'll repeat them to make sure you're aware. Mm-hmm. Our first entrance is Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith.
Okay.
Number 2, Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Oh.
And number 3, Walk This Way, but the Run DMC Aerosmith version.
Okay, I was hoping you're just going to say Aerosmith, because then that would have been it.
That would have been really it. And I'll even tell you that came out in the 70s, so that's why we're not doing that.
Okay.
So we got Janie's Got a Gun, Aerosmith, Crystal Hollis, Run DMC, and when the two... By the way, growing up in the South in an African-American neighborhood was primarily hip-hop. I will tell you, when Walk This Way came out, I'm not telling you the year because that's your job. I will say I went, who are these white dudes with Run DMC? I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Now, before we go to the actual fan, this song particularly in multiple interviews, for right or wrong, for better or worse, this particular song was known for inspiring the career of one of the better known artists of the 2000s. Do you know which song this artist has said made them interested in doing music? And they actually try and capture that hybrid between rock and rap. And again, really popular from the late 90s through the early 2000s.
Linkin Park.
Not quite Linkin Park, it's a solo artist.
Oh.
Very similar in the rap rock genre though.
I don't know.
Bob with the bob, the bang, the bang, Mr. Kid Rock.
All right.
Okay. He said he has many times said that if Run DMC and Aerosmith had a baby, it would have been Kid Rock because of this song.
Yeah.
This is his song. So, Brad, who comes first? Janie's Got a Gun, Christmas in Hollis, or Walk This Way, the Run DMC Aerosmith version?
Now, I don't Run DMC. Their heyday was that early 80s. Mm-hmm. And they, I mean, like, I think their Walk This Way is an infamous song and it'll always live there. But that's going to be, the latest of the 3. Janie's Got a Gun. That is early. That is like probably 83. Run DMC.
And then Christmas in Hollis, which is Run DMC.
Right. Hollis. I'm going to say this is another close one. I'm going to say that Janie's Got a Gun came out before Run DMC and Aerosmith and Run DMC.
Sir? You are 4 out of 5. Oh. You actually got the order backwards.
Oh, no.
Walk This Way, the Run DMC Aerosmith version was 86. Christmas in Hollis was 87. Janie's Got a Gun was the latest, which was in 89.
Oh, that was Pump. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. I was surprised, too. It feels like Janie's Got a Gun was more mid-80s to my recollection.
Yeah.
But when I double checked both the album and the release date of the video and the song itself, it was 1989.
Wow. Okay. Well,
and all three are great songs. Again, hopefully, if you listen to the podcast, each one of these songs should be in heavy rotation. Christmas Hollis is my favorite Christmas song. And Janie's Got a Gun, just if that came out today, it's still very timely and topical. And who did Run Walk This Way? Especially while Steven Tyler try and dance with Run DMC, RP, the Jam Master J. That was, all right. So well done, sir. You were 4 out of 5, which I think is the best either one of us have done at 80%. So again, what you got correct was that Night Moves came before Whippet. You Don't Know What It's Got Till You're Gone predates Every Rose Has a Thorn. You got Respect Before Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. You have She Talks to Angels, fantastic. It's probably the live version, by the way, over Everlast, What It's Like. And again, while you may have gotten it wrong, again, Janie's Got a Gun, Kristen Hollis, and Walk This Way, both the Run DMC Aerosmith version or the Aerosmith Alone version are just great songs to have in your shuffle for any occasion.
But go with the Run DMC version because that is better. No, Aerosmith is one of those bands that's on my bucket list. I'd love to see Aerosmith live. There's a few bands like Aerosmith, Red Hot Chili Peppers is on my bucket list.
Sure.
Maybe a couple others, but those are the big ones. Do that. Are you on Apple Music?
I am not. I am much more of a Google and Spotify person.
Okay, cool. I say if you were on Apple, we gotta get a share. We gotta get a prevent.
We will figure it out because again, I think we can put some cool thing in there. And just remember, for all the great things that Steven Tyler has given us, he also gave us Live. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Brian.
So how can we get a hold of you, buddy?
As always, you can find me on Facebook at Brian Steven Dennis. You can give me a like, give me a follow, friends request, and I always try and get my Facebook somewhere interesting and light. And for some reason, it's usually full of at least a couple Winnie the Pooh memes per week.
All right, so you can tweet at me at Fandemic3, message me on Facebook at The Fandemic, now active on TikTok sometimes. Hear my reviews, so much more. And if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Fandemic. Find us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/PVOTNFandemic. Become an episode assistant, episode producer, a pre-venge producer like our friend Stacy, or become a part of the con. Yes, you could be part of the Council of Nerds starting at $5 a month. You can like us on anchor.fm/PVOTN. You can go to PayPal or Venmo if you really want to at Bradley Butin, or just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. And remember, let's keep the conversation alive in the comments. So if you're watching the video on YouTube, comment. We'll comment back. If you like it if you're watching on Facebook, comment. We'll comment back. Let's talk. Let's have a good time. Tell us what you think. What are your biggest disappointments of 2022? And, keep it semi-PG.
You could even say this podcast. Hopefully you don't. But right. if you feel like, hey, I thought y'all were going to be funny. And look, we're free. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. As always, though, seriously, keep the conversation lively. Bring us your comments. Bring us your questions. You have ideas you want us. We were talking before about revamping the show a little bit in the new year. But again, there's things you want us to discuss, things you want us to throw out. As you've seen, there's pretty much no topic we won't play into. And again, we love hearing from our listeners.
Yes. So I think, Brian, we are at max levels of awesome for the week. Sir. Let's end the way like we do on a positive note.
As always, we appreciate you leveling up your awesome with myself and my tag team partner, Bradley Butens, over the next few days. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, Goonies never die. No retreat. No surrender.
We're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesome. Live free or die empty, and have a great day.
Play that funky music, sir.
You know what? I think I absolutely will.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PBOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing. Leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to have her do that live one of these times.
I think that would be awesome. I think that would be flat out awesome, man.
Let's end it up.